listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Top of the morning to you. Hope you had a great holiday. How the heck are you, Miller and Moulton, on this first Tuesday of July? Thanks so much for being with us here on the Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. Happy 4th, belatedly, to you. How are you?
Right back at you. I'm doing great. Good weekend. Nice.
Oh, yeah. You got both kids in town.
Oh, yeah.
You are living large. I'll bet you guys didn't do a thing yesterday.
Didn't leave the house.
I was going to say.
Very, very 4th of July. Played by the pool. Had hot dogs.
Nice.
Did what we were supposed to do as Americans.
Nice.
Hot dogs, corn on the cob, and played at a swimming pool.
You blow
That's
some stuff up?
July. No, we don't blow anything up. The neighbors blow stuff up for us.
Oh, man, blow stuff up. Unbelievable. Literally every single house around me last night was blowing stuff up. I'm just curious. I understand it's 4th of July, and I'm very American. You know that. I get the whole fireworks thing. I like fireworks. Although I must admit, growing up, I don't remember, although I did live in apartments until I went to college, so, you know, it was tough to be living in an apartment complex and have somebody, you know, in the apartment complex, you know, set off fireworks. I mean, usually that's some
residential
area.
Yeah, usually that was
a
meth lab at an apartment.
Right. So, so I never remembered a whole lot of fireworks from the next door neighbors and what have you, but I understand, you know, with housing, this is a thing. All right, particularly in Florida, right? You're allowed to buy the fireworks, but by law, you're not supposed to be allowed to set them off, right? Is that still the deal?
Yeah, something like
right.
that.
I mean, it's not enforced.
No.
Right. So, is there a deadline? Is there a fireworks curfew in which anything past, is it 10 o'clock?
I think there is. It's July 24th.
I'm just wondering, is it 11 o'clock particularly? And this was awkward. You know, I mean, if July 4th falls on a Friday or a Saturday, you know, let's let the party begin. I mean, if the fireworks go off at 1 in the morning, you know, you just
deal with it.
You got to deal with it.
Right.
But when July 4th's on a Monday and you're living in a residential area, do you think there's an unwritten rule? There's a code?
All right. Now, you're really vaulting into my area of expertise here, David.
Unwritten rules?
Unwritten rules about fireworks in neighborhoods. And there should be. There should be an unwritten rule, but there is not. Because those that like to blow things up don't really adhere to unwritten rules. They would run the shortstop right over, David. They wouldn't slide and get out of the way, if you know what I mean.
Got it.
So, I think what you're wanting is a 10 p.m., a logical 10 p.m. type curfew.
Well, I'm just wondering if there is.
There
isn't.
That's all.
Because I understand also it doesn't get dark until 8:30-ish, and so I understand a lot of people don't want to set them off until it's dark and it doesn't really settle in to almost 9 o'clock. And if that's the case, then you're only giving people an hour.
How long do you need to blow things up? Do you need more than an hour?
I don't know that you do. It takes seconds. We're being told in our Twitch chat room, by the way, that DeSantis signed a bill which allows you to set off fireworks 3 days a year. July 4th, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. Okay. All right.
Well, they took advantage right up to midnight. So it seemed.
Right. That's what I'm wondering. Is there an unwritten rule? Is there a fireworks night code when July 4th is on a weekday and people have to go to work the next day?
The code is try not to blow your hand up.
Well, that's an individual code. And that's a 24/7, 365. I'm just wondering, all right, is there a certain time in which, they're setting fireworks off, that's cool. And then all of a sudden you hear fireworks and you go, come on, it's time to go to bed.
You know, growing up, a buddy of mine, his next door neighbor was brothers with the person who lived across the street. So the brothers lived across the street from one another. They would, on the 4th of July, sit in each other's driveways and shoot bottle rockets off at one another.
Roman candle wars.
Bottle rocket wars. Not Roman candle wars. Bottle rocket wars.
So, did your neighborhood have a thing over in Miami? Oh.
Well, I wasn't in Miami. I was in Fort Myers, but...
No. I mean, growing up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, neighborhood. People.
No, I don't know. I grew up in an apartment complex. I grew up in concrete. There was no grass. I mean, that you could not set fireworks off in a parking lot of an apartment complex. I mean, because clearly somebody would get upset. And no, and you'd get ratted on. No. So there was no fireworks set off when I was a kid where I lived. Now, they were set off. The apartment complex bordered a park, and we had fireworks every year. You know, I remember the bicentennial. All right, I was 10. All right, big display where my dad's parents lived. All right, they had a huge tower that I climbed up and sat there. I watched the ships come in, watched the show at night.
It'd be beautiful. It would. I remember more than anything about the fireworks is every year where I grew up, it would always be we can't afford it anymore. Going to have to raise money so we can have the fireworks. Are the fireworks going to continue?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Huh. Was it a dog and pony show that could afford it? They were just trying to raise money or?
Too little to know or remember, but I just always, because they were near where my uncle had a restaurant, so they were near his restaurant, and the 4th of July would be a big deal because that was a great place to hang out and watch things getting blown up.
You guys ever seen that video of that barge in San Diego that accidentally blew up like 7,000 fireworks all at once? I think that's better than a fireworks show.
That was a couple years ago, I
think it was 10 years ago, actually.
Was it that long already? Wow. But can you, Mark, do some research with your mom, a little R&D, just find out whether or not that was a bit of a shell game that was being done every year?
I'm on it.
Whether it was legit every year and, you know.
I'll work on it.
Okay, thanks. I'm just curious. So that's all. Feel free, Twitch chat room or text in whether or not there is a code. There's an unwritten rule. Kind of, you know, channel your inner baseball. You know, is there an unwritten rule about fireworks on a weeknight or, hey, it's July 4th, you can set them off until you're done. That's all.
I mean, it's your first 4th of July without the dog, so at least you didn't have that.
My wife all day yesterday, I really miss Rufus. And, you know, I mean, this is like when they say to you, how do I look in these jeans? You know, I mean, there's only one answer.
Right.
You know, well, there's two. There's hot and smoking hot. I mean, you know, you have two choices.
You didn't go with the I don't miss the dog at all on 4th of July?
No, I did. I didn't hold back. I mean, she had me cleaning out the garage yesterday for 6 hours.
Well,
yeah. So
you used to have somebody that did that for you.
Right. I mean, you know, now that she, you know, stopped running off with that guy, okay, now I got to clean out the garage. I mean, there's a part of me that wanted him to come back.
Just for that, at least.
That only for that, but yes. Yes.
By the way, and we love the dogs, but on 4th of July, it's F the dogs. Let the fireworks go.
Well, it's... No. Yes. No. So it was nice not having the dog last night. I didn't miss the dog yesterday at all. No. Never realized it growing up. Never had pets. Couldn't. Lived in apartments. Couldn't have pets. And so never understood 15, 20 years ago when my mom's mom would stay home with the dog while we went out and enjoyed the fireworks. I'm like, what's that all about? That we had a dog.
There will be more fireworks tonight.
Oh, no.
You know this goes on all week.
I'm sorry. That's my unwritten rule, especially when July 4th's on a Monday. Come on now. You've had Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night. No.
You'll get a little bit tonight, and then they'll start kicking in again on Friday.
No way. That is a violation. That's ridiculous.
David, you pass 4 places that sell fireworks between here and your house.
Oh, I know that.
At least.
I know that. They've had a holiday weekend. A perfect holiday weekend, in fact. I mean, maybe the only way it could be better is if July 4th was on a Tuesday. You know, to stretch it out. But I mean, you know, it's perfect what they've had.
I'm with you. I'm just telling you, I've lived in this state now quite a long time, they like fireworks in Florida.
I know that.
In fact, they love fireworks in Florida.
I got it. I'm just saying that you're violating, you're vaulting over the line, you're violating the unwritten rules if you are pounding fireworks today and tonight. I'm sorry.
Part of me that wants to get the Twitch chat together and circle Moulton's neighborhood and let fireworks go tonight at about 9:30.
Oh, man.
They look pretty over the water, David.
I'm well aware, but not in a neighborhood, okay? I mean, not in a neighborhood. Not tonight. It's a Tuesday night, man. Come on.
By the way, and if I'm not mistaken, they're on sale now.
Oh, that's the whole point.
Oh, yeah.
Everything. We're slashing prices.
Oh, I might have to stock up. I'm your worst nightmare.
Really? You're one of those? You're the person that buys wrapping paper on December 26th?
You know,
you get it half price. You can save it for Christmas next year.
I can't blow wrapping paper up.
Yeah, but buying fireworks on July 5th is the same thing as basically Christmas shopping on December 26th.
Right.
Kept you up a little bit last night, didn't they?
I was fine with it last night. I mean, there was a point a little after 11 o'clock, I literally thought, you know, is this allowed or is this violating one of those unwritten rules? Like, I'll give you till 11, but then at 11, come on, you got to assume people are trying to go to sleep. They got to get up the next day. I know I rolled over. I mean, you know me, I don't care. I mean, as long if you don't set my house on fire, I'm fine with it. And trust me, literally every house whose fence touched my property set off fireworks all night last night.
You know, as much as you say you're all right with it, the tone I get in your voice is you'd really rather live in a neighborhood that didn't shoot fireworks.
No, nope. I was fine with it.
I was.
Mark, kind of sounds like get off my lawn tone.
No, it really does.
Not at all. I didn't.
And I'm not. And I sympathize with them. And I actually am almost on your side here. But I'm all right with it.
I was.
How it's coming out.
Well, I'm just raising my voice. But I was all right with it. All right, it's 4th of July. I rolled with the punches. But I'm not rolling with the punches tonight.
Will you go out and protest if fireworks are coming off?
No, I'll yell tonight. I will yell tonight. I will walk out on Lanai and say, hey, you didn't fire these off last night? That's your problem.
Welcome back to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
21 minutes past the hour. Top of the morning to you. Belated happy 4th of July. Thanks for starting your week off with us, for many of you. Here with the Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. Just to reiterate, you know, we have some fun and all that, but I have no problems with any and all fireworks on July 4th.
That's what you said.
No. It's what I meant. I did just ask, though, whether or not people think there's a curfew, if you will, on fireworks on July 4th in your neighborhood. Not along the beaches and along the water, but it just didn't know if people thought that in your neighborhood, when the 4th of July is during a week in which you go, listen, I'm all for this, but hey, you know, after 11 o'clock, you know, stop it. I just asked. It was a rhetorical question. That's all. I mean, boy, got people in the Twitch chat room, you know, questioning, you know, my love of freedom. I'm like, listen, I'm fine with any and all fireworks.
As long as you don't shoot fireworks off in my neighborhood.
That's not true. July 4th, you could, as long as they don't set my house on fire, I'm fine. Anytime, day or night on the 4th of July. Now, tonight, if you could get them over with 10-ish, that would be preferred. That's all. Tonight, I would prefer not to be woken up at midnight by fireworks.
Okay. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think you will be woken up by fireworks
probably
at midnight.
Yeah, I think there's...
But I think it's a fair request.
Right. I mean, you know, I don't think it's that outrageous a request, but it... Probably will be at the end of the day. Miller and Moulton here on the Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. Mark, you ready?
Numbers?
53, 58, 65.
There we go.
All right. 7.5 weeks till the backyard brawl, Pitt and West Virginia. Or no, actually, I'm a little off there. 8+ weeks for that. But 7.5 weeks until the whole Nebraska-Northwestern cross the pond. And for some, that's enough to kick off the college football season. I'm going to wait for Pitt, West Virginia, 8 weeks from Thursday, 58 days away. That, to me, kicks off week one, a 5-day extravaganza Thursday through Monday of college football. There you go. That's how you kick off a season, baby. And then 9 weeks from Thursday, Bills, Rams, SoFi. Let's, you know, future home of Big Ten championship games.
Be nice to get ready for the Big Ten season with Monday Night Football. Or, you know, with the regular season, the NFL starting off at SoFi. I was getting a kick out of whether it was Twitter. It was mostly Twitter. Just, you know, I'd peruse over the course of the weekend and different USC sports.
Right.
Announcing their Big Ten
right
entrance.
Right. Yeah, proud to be. The tweet that I enjoyed the most over the weekend is that USC is closer to Honduras than they are Rutgers.
Should work out well for
right
women's softball. Right. And
I don't think it'll affect volleyball and baseball at all.
No,
not at all. All right, just enjoy the better travel, though. All right, you'll be on a nicer plane.
I didn't see it, but has Walton said anything yet? I really need to hear from Bill Walton.
No, I have not seen or heard a word from Bill Walton.
Conference of Champions.
Yep.
I mean.
Which could go away depending on how a certain meeting goes today. Big 12 reportedly meeting with Colorado, Utah, and the two Arizona schools. Listen, they leave. You know, you're putting a conference together the way the AAC keeps having to put a conference together every 5-6 years. I mean, it's one thing for the two Southern California schools to leave and you replace them with San Diego State and Boise, and, you know, you keep at least most of the toothpaste in the tube, but, you know, 4 more leave. It's over, baby. Notre Dame apparently just chilling out. Hanging out, you know, mixing some cocktails, just enjoying the summer.
Probably shot off fireworks last night at 11:01.
And had no problem with it. They're celebrating either way. Yep. Yeah. They're just happy-go-lucky these days. They are certainly wanted, that is for sure. Apparently Friday, you know, we were done Friday. We went off and began our holiday weekend. Well, apparently Friday was a regularly scheduled meeting day amongst the ACC athletic directors. So they had a big conference call. Now, think of the timing of that. You know, Thursday night was the whole Big Ten USC-UCLA.
Right.
And then the rumors about Notre Dame. So then at like 11 o'clock, noon, you know, the ADs and the ACC, they're on a big conference call, including Jack Swarbrick. Even though Notre Dame's not officially, you know, not for football, but they are for everything else. And according to sources, apparently Swarbrick was upbeat, you know, didn't seem, you know, wasn't on the defensive. That certain people thought, man, this could be unpleasant. And apparently Swarbrick, forward-thinking, you know, just acted as if nothing's going on.
Of course.
Well, it's...
He's a good card player.
Well, he's a great card player, if that's the case. I mean, he ain't a good card player. He's a great card player.
What do you do if you're the other guys in the room? What do you say? You just got to keep on keeping on.
You're totally messed up if you're the other guys in the room. You know he's got all the cards. You know he's got the most chips and all the cards, and look how he's acting. He's acting like he's one of us. Oh, it would totally mess me up. Totally. Do I try to poke him? You know, do I just try to, you know.
You guys going to keep playing USC every year? I mean, how do you ask this question? How do we open here?
Right. Jack, did you see the news last night? Any comment? So, they're hanging out. They're hanging out. They'll let everybody know. No rush, though. And reportedly, the Big Ten has said to everybody else, hey, cool your jets. No need to call us. We ain't doing anything till we get an answer from Jack Swarbrick.
That's it. Wherever he wants to go, we'll act accordingly.
Right. If he doesn't want to go anywhere, I don't know if we're going to call any of you back. And if he wants to go somewhere, hell, we may call all of you. So just chill out. Enjoy your summer, boys. Trust me, you'll know if and when something's going on. You won't have to hear it from me.
Well, that's... Now, there's never been truer words spoken ever right there. I mean, what is it whenever a, you know, the idea of a coach coming to a place, they're tracking the tail numbers of the planes?
Yeah, totally. Coaching search.
I mean, are there just drones hovering over South Bend right now? Anytime anyone leaves, they make a report?
Well, this could be done over the phone, though.
I know.
You don't have to have a face-to-face meeting for this. This is just wait for the tweet, which somebody goes, sources say, Notre Dame is dot, dot, dot. I don't know about you, but because you're better at it than I am. Like when we head into a weekend or a holiday weekend, you can shut it down. You know, there have been times in which you've come in and go, listen, tell me what's happened in the last 48 hours because we didn't turn the TV on at my house and, you know, I think my phone's on charger in some room.
Me, outside of watching NASCAR, David, that's about all I had.
Well.
Road America.
Ross Chastain with another top five.
That's what he does.
He's second in the points.
Been that way for a while.
I know. It's our guy. Digress. But how about all the Miami people? I don't know what, you know, and Felipe, you as well. I don't know what you guys have seen on Twitter and what have you, but man. Canes people that I've seen on Twitter, they can't get in the Big Ten fast enough. They want out.
And I think the Big Ten will take them in a heartbeat. I think they're coming with Notre Dame when it happens. Miller and Moulton, Florida Sports Network.
Welcome back to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
22 minutes for the hour. Miller and Moulton, Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. Thanks so much for being with us on this first Tuesday of July. Hope you had a great 4th of July weekend. For many of you, thanks for starting your work week off with us. 53 days away from Nebraska Northwestern and week zero kicking off the college football season. If you don't count week zero, you're 58 days away from week one getting underway with Pitt, West Virginia. And you are 65 days away from the Bills and the Rams kicking off the NFL season 9 weeks from Thursday. How about that?
We're getting there.
Yeah.
Inching along.
Yeah. All-Star Week in baseball is a week later this year because the whole, you know, lockout or whatever the heck it was going on there in March. It's a mess. Cluster. But, all right, here's some of what you missed. Time for...
The Starting Five. Five stories you need to know. It's The Starting Five on Miller and Moulton. Here's number one.
We'll start with college football. Why not? Colorado, Utah, Arizona, Arizona State meeting with the Big 12 later today. If you were those schools, what would you do?
Wow.
I mean, you don't have to do anything. You could sit tight, see what Notre Dame does, and decide to stay.
I couldn't make a move right now without seeing what Notre Dame's going to do. Because to me, I still think Arizona State would have an outside shot at the Big Ten. It's a top 10 market in the country. population, I mean, a student population that's through the roof.
Now, usually, you got to take two schools. You need a travel partner and all that. So that would be the Big Ten either taking Arizona with it or taking either Oregon or Washington. It's an awkward travel partner. You're separated by
a country. I understand.
Notre Dame's still pondering life in pursuit of happiness. They'll let the Big Ten know at some point, maybe. Is this like waiting for a pope? If you're the Big Ten, if you're Warren there, are you waiting for like white smoke or something? And what's the sign you're waiting for?
David, I think you're just waiting for the green smoke because everything's about that these days.
Well done. Well done. Listen, I think Jack Swarbrick, if he's going to join the Big Ten, should at least wear the green jersey at the announcement, don't you think? Brittany Griner appealed to President Biden in a letter that was passed on from her through her representatives and made its way into print. She said, quote, "I'm terrified I might be here forever," unquote. And then later on in the letter said, "Please do all you can to bring us home." And by us, she meant all of the Americans that are being detained in Russia. Griner went on trial last Friday about smuggling drug paraphernalia and distributing drugs in Russia. I mean, there's no debating whether or not she smuggled in drug paraphernalia. There's a great deal of debate about whether or not she was intending to distribute the drugs. Nobody believes that. But could get 10 years in prison. And most people believe that the trial's a sham. So, balls in President Biden's court. Pardon the pun. That's for sure. Hammer and Hank Goldberg died yesterday on what was his 82nd birthday in Las Vegas. When you and I first got to Southwest Florida, QAM in Miami was simulcast on the station that you and I ended up being on in our first act, AM 770.
Right.
And they simulcast because the company, Beasley Broadcasting, owned QAM in Miami and owned AM 770 in Fort Myers. And so you got Joe Rose in the morning, Neil Rogers midday, which was just a remarkable show on
so good,
so many levels. And you got a combination of Hank Goldberg and or the Mad Dog Jim Mandich afternoons over a series of years. But Hank Goldberg, who got his start with Jimmy the Greek. He was actually the ghostwriter for Jimmy the Greek's column that appeared nationally for like 10 years in 300 papers across the country. Hank was the one who was writing it. And then Hank made it big in Miami and went national after the untimely death of Pete Axthelm nearly 30 years ago. And so, you know, Chris Berman, who was tight with Shula and the Dolphins, and so he and Hank knew one another, and a couple of people advocated on Hank's behalf, and Hank ended up replacing Pete Axthelm and did nearly 20 years on ESPN. ESPN did a nice obit, if you will, during their sports centers yesterday. If you were a fan of Hank, go find it. Download it. They did a good job. But yesterday was his 82nd birthday. Not many. How many people do you know whose birthday is 4th of July?
Two, as a matter of fact.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, Art, Joe, happy belated birthday.
I mean, I know George Steinbrenner's birthday was 4th of July, and so was Hank Goldberg's. He passed away yesterday. He had had kidney problems for the last few years of his life. Actually had one of his legs amputated last fall. Hank was 82 years old. Tiger Woods back playing golf. He's playing in this two-day pro-am in Ireland. Got a lot of good players in this field. What is interesting is you got a couple of the LIV guys that are in the Pro-Am.
Well, it's not a Euro Tour event, not a DP World Tour event there, David.
Tiger Woods shot a 5 over 77. He's T43 out of 50 players in this Pro-Am.
Well, sounds like a cash grab kind of event. 2 days, no cuts.
Tiger shot 5 over on his front nine, even par on his back. Shoffley, a leader, 13 strokes better at 8 under 64. Ricky Fowler's tied for second with a 67. It's still a surprise to many that Ricky hasn't joined the LIV series.
Pressure he is getting from his own inner circle is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. The Spieth and JT, Rory, basically said, dude, if you join, you're dead to us. And so, for now, he's not joining. Brooks Koepka tied for fourth in this thing. DJ tied for eighth. DeChambeau shot even par despite a nine on a par five. Spieth, by the way, got DQ'd. Because it's a team of, it's mostly a team thing, but for the pros, you know, it's a two-day individual thing. Spieth forgot. He lags up like a 30-footer on 14 to, you know, 4 inches. And somebody in the group's like, you know, yeah, that's good. And Spieth picks it up. Puts it in the pocket. DQ'd
him.
Yeah. And then he realized, oh my goodness, you know, brain fart. And so that's it. He's out. But he gets to continue to play.
But he plays because of the...
In the Pro-Am. Makes two more birdies on his round to help his amateur partners. Speaking of golf news, Ian Poulter, Spain's Adrian Otegui and South Africa's Justin Harding went to court and won an injunction, although they called it a stay across the pond, to be in the field for this week's Scottish Open. Scottish Open, remember, a joint event with the PGA Tour. It's mostly a European Tour event. It's not called that anymore. It's the DP World Tour. But you know, those guys got, they didn't get kicked off the tour, but they were told that they can't be in these three co-sponsored events. Well, Poulter and the two others sued as European Tour members, and a judge agreed with them for now and said you can play in the Scottish Open. We'll see where this goes from here.
Oh, good.
It's a big deal.
Yes, it is.
If Poulter and these golfers win, look out. But the commissioner apparently is all against these guys wanting to play in his tour. We thought he'd be all for it. He went public yesterday. He didn't name names, but he said, well, one guy hasn't played but four events in the last 5 years. The other guy's played five events. Now all of a sudden they want to play my tour. Poulter, meanwhile, is in his mid-40s, is like, you know, I've played your tour for over 20 years. Even when it cost me money and world golf ranking points and FedEx Cup points.
And again, I don't know if that's the exact quote from the commissioner, but I don't want you on my tour. More commissioners referring to a golf tour in the personal as opposed to the two players on the tour, and that's where this whole problem lies in.
So we'll see where it goes from here. But there's a dozen other Euros. By the way, Paul Casey over the weekend.
Left came for the Live Tour.
Right, 44 years old, but he's top, damn near top 20 in the world. I mean, nearly won the TPC earlier this year. All right, baseball on 4th of July. Red Sox won for the 8th straight time on the 4th of July. They beat the Rays 5-0. Cutter Crawford, who pitched in-state at FGCU, 5 1/3 scoreless innings of relief. Marlins won their 5th in a row. They swept a 4-game series from the Nats. 3-2 Miami. By the way, Marlins hosting Ohtani and the Angels tonight and tomorrow. Ohtani's 28 today. He pitches tomorrow.
Say the word.
Couple of 640 starts, I believe. Mets beat the Reds 7-4. Braves beat the Cardinals 6-3. Brewers, by beating the Cubs 5-2-10, now have a 3-game lead in the Central. Guardians got swept for the second time in less than a week. Yankees swept them a few days ago. Well, okay, it's the Yankees. They got swept by the Tigers. 4-1 and 5-3. Combine that with the Twins beating the White Sox in extra innings 6-3. Minnesota's lead's back up to 3.5 in the Central. Dodgers beat Colorado 5-3, while the Padres lost to Seattle 8-2, and the Giants lost to Arizona 8-3. And just like this, the Dodgers leads 4.5 over San Diego, and the Giants are 9.5 back. Wow.
Giants have been a scuffling. Phillies are actually ahead of the Giants right now.
Yeah, the Giants are 2 games behind St. Louis, who holds down the 6th seed right now in the National League. Phillies a game back, Giants 2 games back. Houston won their 7th straight. Alvarez homered in the 9th to beat the Royals 7-6. 24,403 in Oakland yesterday on the 4th of July.
That's what I'm talking about.
For the A's 5-1 win over the Jays. And Baltimore beat Texas in extra innings 7-6 on a hit-by-pitch walk-off. Wimbledon, Djokovic, and Nadal have advanced to the quarters. They seem headed for a showdown in the finals, although the one American left on the men's side, Taylor Fritz, will face Nadal in the quarters. Nick Kyrgios has advanced to the quarters. A couple of 5-set wins since we last saw Nick. Such a low-key, mild-mannered guy.
And it's been very calm with him getting there as well.
Right. No issues. I'll tell you what, that match with Tsitsipas there, that was very McEnroe-Lendl. You know, Kyrgios acting like McEnroe. And remember how Lendl, when he'd get mad at McEnroe, he'd just start hitting the ball right at him, try to hit him? All right. Well, that's what Tsitsipas was doing there. 3 times. He either hit or tried to hit Kyrgios in the match.
I like the fire that he plays with, but he's so hateable. He's such a villain.
Tell you what, though, younger people loved him. They went crazy for him on Saturday on Twitter and TikTok and all that. On the women's side, by the way, only one top 15 seed is left in the quarters. One. There's one American left, Amanda Anisimova. She's going to face former Wimbledon champion Simona Halep in the quarters. I think Halep's going to win the whole thing. And that was
the Starting Five every weekday morning at this time on Miller and Moulton.
So there you go. Kind of get you, it's sort of caught up. There were a lot more things that went on. I mean, you know, we had a USFL championship game, Mark. And apparently it was a good, exciting game. 33-30, baby.
Well, David, you know, when the Stars are involved in a championship game, if you look at the history, been a lot of barn burners.
Always close and exciting. It is
true. It really
true.
Is.
They don't always win.
No.
But. Miller and Moulton. Pat Kerwin is on the show, and he will join us in a touch over an hour. Remember, just 65 days away to the start of the NFL season. Miller and Moulton, thanks for being with us. Where else but on the Florida Sports Network?